We've got an announcement this morning, sponsored by, brought to you by Buildings and Grounds. They're unaware of it, but they're behind it. We know they are.
Hi, Hampton.
Hi, Robinson.
Ready to get to work?
I am. You're looking good this morning.
Thanks, Hampton. So are you.
They say I do stop traffic.
That's true, but it always amazes me how folks just drive by this place and don't even seem to notice what's here.
But what can we do about it?
Oh, I don't know. You could use some color. Maybe, I don't know, maybe do something with your hair.
Why, Mrs. Robinson, are you trying to spruce me?
I'm just saying.
Well, now that you mention it, you look good with some flowers, native plants, butterflies.
Are we going to go down that road now?
I'm just saying. Look, you're right. Let's do our part to make this area even more beautiful, more attention-getting, welcoming, and traffic-stopping. And that's why the Buildings and Grounds Committee,
the folks who work hard every month to keep this place maintained and looking great,
have organized the Big Dig. They've acquired lots of natural beauty in the way of native plants and flowers to be planted near and around the entrances of 1U.
And they've made their flower power really stretch by giving volunteers to do the work.
So, for the beauty of 1U, dig in and join us, if you can, next Saturday from 9 to 4 and be treated to free lunch and live musical entertainment by Welcome.
It is the custom in Unitarian Universalist congregations to begin our time together with the lighting of a chalice, the symbol of our faith. We come together this morning and hopefully reach out for one another among other times when things aren't right, when things are dire, when there is injustice in the world or a wrongness in our hearts. But we won't do the work of fixing, reconciling, or healing by dwelling in the dire or desperate or wronged place. We must know and understand the truth of that place, but our work finds its strength and endurance in a different place, moved by hope, belief in rights and equalities not yet realized or seen, but only imagined, a faith in our potential. Let us rise up on our own wings of what good, beautiful, and joyful might be possible. We heard Van Jones speak at a Unitarian Universalist gathering a few years ago, and he pointed out to us that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King did not write a famous speech called, "I Have a Complaint." His work and heart dwelled in the place of dreams. This is the story of how we begin to remember. These are the roots of rhythm, and the roots of rhythm remain. Why do we care about anti-racism work? Why do I care? I care because I believe that we are all connected. In the seventh UU principle way, that interdependent web of existence of which we are all a part. I believe in the inherent worth and dignity of all people, our first UU principle. I understand that through the lottery of genetics, I have inherited privileges since birth due to the color, the whiteness of my skin. I believe that this understanding compels me, obligates me to work to challenge racism as status quo, to eradicate the disadvantages weighing on people whose black and brown skin is not a measure of their character or worth. I believe that a world where people were not divided by race and class would be a better, safer, happier place to live. Like Brother Ali, I believe in what a driven few can really do, because I have seen the legacy of work of years of dedicated and driven Unitarian Universalists and others who have believed and worked before my time to make the world a better place than was handed to them. I care because I believe, and if I did not care, I would have to stop believing. This is a story of how we begin to remember. Paul Simon recorded the album Graceland in South Africa during the days of apartheid, defying a cultural boycott against the racist regime. A great deal of controversy and criticism was leveled at Simon for breaking that boycott, and he has defended his actions by saying no one asked him not to go, that he was largely unaware of the political implications and inferences of his actions, and that the South African musicians that he worked with invited him and wanted to get their music out into the world. And it did. Their music gained international exposure. Personally, I can't imagine the past several decades without the Zulu-inspired music that Simon co-created under African skies. But that's just from my perspective, from a place far removed. With Graceland, Simon created a mixed-race community of artists that symbolized what the regime was trying to repress. His actions were not those of ill intent. There is, according to Simon, a happy ending. But according to multiple sources, the controversy remains today, with vastly differing views on the impact of Simon's actions and what they were despite his good intent. There has been no apparent reconciliation. Our Unitarian Universalist journey toward wholeness, our attempts to address and end racism in our world and in our association, has not been without criticism or controversy. Our actions are, for the most part, well-intended. But we understand that despite good intentions, the impact of our actions, if harmful, have more bearing on the actual success of our efforts than intent. We are sometimes unaware of the full implications and inferences of our actions, and we have repeatedly fallen short of the intentions we have set and the promises we have made. Earlier this summer, I attended the Unitarian Universalist Association's General Assembly, along with my wife, Nikki, and a total of 10 of our members from this beloved community. General Assembly, GA, is an annual opportunity to gather with over 3,000 UUs from all over the world and have your heart and mind enlarged and challenged. The theme for the year 2013 was From Promise to Commitment. Worship services with inspiring speakers and tremendous congregational and professional singing abound. Plenary sessions where the business of our association is conducted and our decisions for the future direction of our faith movement is decided. Social justice public witness actions are held as a witness to our faith. An exhibit hall with art, books, clothing, jewelry, and groups of every stripe of UU are represented. Daily scheduling offers a plethora of educational and informational workshops on topics including stewardship, social justice, spiritual paths, growing our congregations. There's an overwhelming amount of possibilities to choose from. Each day, our group would gather between sessions to reflect and discuss what workshops we'd selected for the day. We'd spread out, trying to cover much of the experience as possible to bring home here to 1U. That's the factual representation of GA, but as Nikki likes to refer to it, GA is like a giant five-day UU palooza. Everywhere you turn, you see a Unitarian Universalist, all over town, in restaurants, in line for coffee at Starbucks, in the hotel lounge. Conversations are swirling all around you with talk of our faith's values and envisioning our roles in making the world a better place. Nikki and I frequently ate at the Bluegrass Brewing Company, conveniently located between the convention center and our room, and we were delighted one evening to have the opportunity to chat with the hostess who recognized us and expressed interest in what we were all about, having overheard many of these conversations. It is a heart and mind and hope-expanding experience to be surrounded and feel so connected to our greater beloved community. These delegates come from hundreds of congregations and represent even more people back home. The message is, we are not alone. Singing our favorite hymns in the company of thousands of voices, we sound great. The energy builds, feeling like it will lift us up to a place where we can see new hope with renewed vision. The UUA has a long history of anti-racism efforts. In 1997, we drafted an anti-racist business resolution to acknowledge our failures of the past to fully respond to the call for justice, to set out our intentions and transform our association and the world to dismantle racism. More than 210 congregations have experienced a Jubilee One anti-racism workshop in the past 12 years, and more than 5,000 religious and lay leaders have participated in anti-racism events, including the Jubilee Two Power Analysis Training. Just Change anti-racist, anti-oppression consultants have served dozens of congregations, districts, divinity schools, and UUA staff groups since the consultancy was introduced in July of 2005. More than 360 congregations have participated in Beyond Categorical Thinking, a program to promote inclusivity and diversity in our ministerial search process, addressing biases and unconscious assumptions, providing more opportunities for ministers of color, LGBTQ ministers, and ministers with disabilities. We have 650-plus welcoming congregations, a program geared to guide congregations into more understanding and inclusivity toward people with marginalized sexual orientations and gender identities. First Unitarian completed this program in the 1990s, and our actions have been formed by that information ever since. This isn't a comprehensive list, but we have educated ourselves, we have challenged ourselves, we have made progress, and we continue to analyze and discuss. There's a joke about why there are so few Unitarians in heaven. The story goes that there's a road to heaven, and at some point the road forks, and there's a sign there that says, this way to heaven, and this way to discussions about heaven. We like to discuss, and it's important. But we also like to do. And this important work is why we're here, to have our values shape our actions in the world. Here at home, our congregation actively works on social justice issues, and the Social Justice Committee is currently making decisions about where our focus would be best served in the coming year. Just like at the national level, at each year's General Assembly, there are many causes that call out for our attention, and we want our efforts to have as much effectiveness as possible. And so we attempt to concentrate on a few topics to maximize our efforts. Much like at GA, we have many from which to pick and choose and lobby for our personal favorite or most compelling and urgent cause. One of the activities at General Assembly that isn't highlighted in the program but is inevitably one of the most rewarding for me is mealtime. In addition to great food in a local place, we get to talk and listen, find out what happened in other people's day, or hear someone's personal perspective or epiphany. This year was no exception. After attending the workshop on the new Jim Crow, I had the opportunity to speak with one of the presenters, Paula Cole Jones. Ms. Jones is an anti-racist leader, author, educator, and consultant to the Unitarian Universalist Association. In our conversation, she realized that I was married to Nikki, whose poetry she had included in a published collection of poems about race, ethnicity, and identity. And because of that connection, she invited us to join her for a meal. The conversation over dinner was as informative as any lecture or workshop I attended. My greatest insight for the year came from Paula's commentary that she shared with us about her view of the UUA's anti-racism work. Anti-racism is not an isolated issue, and it's not something we will be able to finish this year or next and put aside to pick up another cause. As Brother Ali put it, advantages given to the few that are built into the roots of our biggest institutions. This privilege and lack of privilege permeate the fabric of our society. Ms. Jones advised that all of the issues that we tackle would be better achieved if we view them through the anti-racism lens. I was aware of this on some levels, but the clarity that conversation brought was new. Our faith calls us to confront systems of injustice, and we struggle to make the best use of our efforts. One of the biggest successes I see here at home is in the ongoing anti-oppression work affecting lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered individuals. We have done the work. We are a welcoming congregation. We have educated ourselves. We continue to learn and stand on the side of love whenever we see these injustices occur. It is as though our vision has been corrected through the knowledge we have gained, and we see the world through the lens of greater understanding of LGBT issues and struggles. We don't take off those corrective lenses when we turn our attention to additional issues of importance. In the same way, our struggle against racism and class oppression has brought us greater knowledge. We continue to learn. Our vision is corrected. Our efforts are magnified. When we are looking at environmental justice, reproductive justice, economic justice, if we look through the lens of racial equality to understand how people of color are affected, our results will be intensified. We do not put down our anti-racism work to pick up another cause. We are informed by our new, improved vision, and our work moves forward. We aspire to be allies in the ongoing struggle against racism. We will make mistakes, and when we do, we need to acknowledge it, face it, discuss it, and make reconciliation. Recommit to the work before us and continue. One such mistake is recounted on the UUA's website. In 1993, General Assembly was held in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the Thomas Jefferson District. The GA Planning Committee decided to hold a Thomas Jefferson Ball, inviting delegates to attend the ball in period costume. Although he never joined a Unitarian church, Thomas Jefferson is often claimed by Unitarian Universalists as an early North American Unitarian. The other thing you need to know is that he was also a slaveholder. Some delegates to the 1993 General Assembly questioned the propriety of the Thomas Jefferson Ball. These delegates, including African Americans and their white allies, read a statement in the first plenary session at the 1993 GA protesting the event. The ensuing conflict sent ripples throughout Unitarian Universalism, raising awareness that different groups of people could have very different perceptions of the same event. The Reverend Hope Johnson, who was then a lay leader in the community church in New York City, and the Reverend Barbara Branson, then a lay leader in and president of the Thomas Jefferson District, were both in the middle of the conflict. In this GA presentation, they discussed how they were able to recognize and confront their diverse perspectives and reconcile with each other. Johnson told how she and other members of the community church in New York City found out about the Thomas Jefferson Ball before GA began. Johnson said her sister asked her, "Well, what am I supposed to wear to the ball? What sort of rags and chains would be appropriate?" The story goes on to tell of the conflict and chaos that resulted, with protests and repercussions that rippled through our beloved community. We have and we will make mistakes. It is our commitment to remember, to work through the process of reconciliation that returns us to the place where we can begin again, renewing our commitment to keep the promises we have made. We are on our way. We are inspired by hope. We dream a world of greater possibilities. We can envision the results of our efforts. Ann Braden was hailed by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as a white Southern woman whose rejection of institutionalized racism was, in his words, eloquent and prophetic. In the recently released documentary Southern Patriot, spanning 50 years of Ann's life's anti-racism work, she gave this advice. "I don't think guilt is a productive emotion. I never knew anybody who really got active because of guilt. Everybody white that I knew that got involved in this struggle got into it because they glimpsed a different world to live in. The meaning of life is in that struggle, that human beings have always been able to envision something better. I don't know where they get it, but that's what makes human beings divine, I think. All through history, there have been people who've envisioned something better in the most dire situations. That's what you want to be a part of. You might not get to see the fruit of it, but that's what you want to be a part of." I believe that that's what we are a part of. We are envisioning a better world, and we are committed to the work to make that vision a reality.